This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. On your lips. On your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. How many things? Everything. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want you to take the next minute to thank God for the things you can't see, but you are so sure He has done it in you. And I'm talking about salvation. Also thank God for this hour, believing He is going to speak to you as you listen to this message, and thank Him for the things He will be doing or speaking to you hereafter. Pray. So much He has done in our lives, although we can't see, and so much that He will be doing. Mighty God, we are here today, a family under Your saving grace. Speak into our hearts, into our memory banks, Your living Word that is able to save, restore, rebuild, and heal. The Word that teaches, rebukes, and corrects. Thank You for Your Word. It is life unto our path. We acknowledge it is the word that gives us comfort. We receive encouragement and peace of mind from it. Lord, have Your way. Have Your way today, this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 2 weeks ago, we began the journey of refreshing our minds on the theme of this year, 2020. And we are going back to that. You remember, this year theme is what? Standing in the truth, standing firm in the truth and love till I see Him. Standing firm in the truth and love till I see Him. Last week, we paused to consider deeply with soberness the spiritual parallels of the massive explosion that rocked the city of Beirut, causing loss of lives, thousands wounded, homes and buildings destroyed. Sermon was titled last week, "Be One of the Most Dangerous Explosives in Life." Be one of the most dangerous explosives in life. To refresh you of what we said last week, know and be reminded, you are not going to be a spectator of the happenings of the end of age, the end of times. Know and be reminded, every sin is a potential explosive. And you have been advised, remove it quickly from your life before it explodes. You remember, they have been warned. The massive explosives have been sitting there in the port for 6 years. And the customs have been warning the government. Explosives are meant to explode, so also sin is meant to kill, destroy, and ultimately separate you from God. Let me put it this way, as we did last week. Anything that can separate you from the love of God is the most massive explosion in your life. Now, going back to what we started 2 weeks ago, refreshing ourselves on the theme of the subtitle now, be reminded, to stand firm in the truth and love to receive Jesus. Be reminded to stand firm in the truth and love to receive Jesus. Remember, we focus on the phrase, be reminded. Just those two words, be reminded. Why be reminded? If you recall, we began by acknowledging the fact that we all want to remember what has happened in the past, especially good things, good events, sweet memories. Sometimes we erect monuments or statues to remind us of the achievements or events or accomplishments of our heroes. Hardly anyone wants to remember bad events, is there? Do you want to remember bad events, disappointments, pains, heartaches, disgusting, cruel, and graphic events? Nobody wants to remember bad events, bad happenings. Don't want to remember that hurting, that pain, that disappointment, that shame. However, while it is good to recall the good old days, the good times, the good memories, but we are advised, don't brush aside the bad days or events. As children of God, nothing happens to a child of God without God Himself allowing it or endorsing it. Nothing happens to a child of God. Nothing will happen to you once you are a child of God without God allowing it. Because God engineers all circumstances for the good of His children that love, trust, and obey Him. 1 Corinthians 10:13, my favorite. What a good reminder in the times of critical trials, difficulties, to recall that God is engineering all circumstances for the good of you because you love Him. No temptation has seized you except that which is common. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way through that you can stand it. It is encouraging, quite refreshing to remember these realities in those times of challenges, in those times where you have done all and yet nothing is changing. When you cannot understand what do you do next, remember God is faithful. He's engineering all circumstances for the good of you. Amen. And that is why we can always reconcile or understand 1 Thessalonians when it says in chapter 5 verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because you know, you remind yourself, God is engineering the circumstances for the best of you. Hallelujah. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7 tonight. That was our main scripture, and it will be one of them for this week. It says what? In verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. What is it? Teach them what? The laws, the commands of God, the loving commands of God that God provided to guide them so that they will benefit and enjoy all the promises of God. There is always a condition when there is an engagement between two, God and you. He has His part to fulfill and you have your part to fulfill. His promises are there, but they are conditional. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them, verse 8, as reminders on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorsteps of your house and on your gates. Look, this particular verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is only talking about what? Be reminded. Remember. Meditate. So from this scripture of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7 to 9, it gives us our very first point last 2 weeks. To be reminded. And what is it? To be reminded, it is God's command to be reminded. It is God's command to be reminded. And the word of God says, if we love him, we will keep his command. John chapter 14, verse 15. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to understand God's command before you obey it. There are certain things that God has asked us in certain situations. It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to him. He is God. He created us. He knows our measure, our capacity. You don't have to understand God's command before you obey it. Faith is required in pleasing God, without which we cannot please him. And what is faith? Faith is simply trust and obey. Please note that to be reminded over and over again is not necessarily because you have short-term memory that you can easily forget all that you adore. First Peter addressed that. He said, 2 Peter verse 1, 12 to 13, he says, so I will remind you, always remind you of this, is even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth, you now know. He says what in verse 8, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. He said, well, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth, you now live. So it's not a question of playing you down that you are dull or you have this short-term memory. There is a reason. And that comes to the second point. Why the need to be reminded? Why does God demand that we be reminded? Especially if you don't forget and somebody is trying to remind you of something that is fresh in your mind. Certainly there is frustration in such situation. In reminding someone of something he is conversant nor forgotten. Why does God demand that we be reminded? Because God created or designed our subconscious mind, which is part of our mind, with a function to record things if they are repeated over and over again. I'm not going into the details of the mind, which is divided into conscious mind and subconscious mind. We are emphasizing because we talked about it last 2 weeks. So our subconscious mind, God designed it, he created deliberately to function in recording things if they are repeated over and over again. Our subconscious mind, therefore, store things we read repeatedly, we watch repeatedly, we listen repeatedly, we think or even imagine. When you begin to form images, it records. It's a recorder. When you do things over and over again in habitual repetition, the subconscious mind will record everything, not discriminating between good and bad. Good and bad will be recorded. In other words, things not done in habitual repetition will not be stored in our memory bank, in our subconscious mind, and we can easily forget. They are usually stored at the conscious mind, and the conscious mind only stores for a short period of time. Impliedly, what is application? What is understanding of this? What is important for the child of God to remember? The Word of God. We have to read the Word of God daily, over and over again. What I'm saying, memorize, meditate on the Word of God. It will what? The Word, it will be engrafted, recorded in your subconscious mind, your heart or spirit, if you will. However, if you memorize on the words of this world, secular music, other things, that is what will be engrafted, recorded as well in your subconscious mind. Are we together? Are you listening? Amen. Today, we shall continue to look at why God wants us to remember, to repeatedly remind ourselves of his loving words in the Bible, of his commands and promises. But however, I just want us to look at some facts about our memory bank, because this is very important. Some of us are ignorant about what is happening with our subconscious mind, which I will be referring to as our memory bank metaphorically. Six facts about our subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind, I said, I will be referring to it as our memory bank because of its function. Number one, safe. The memory bank is safe and a well-secured bank, and it never declares bankruptcy. Very well saved and secured place to store things, where we can store very important stuff, valuable jewelry, our hard currencies. You know, usually hard currencies you go to the bank to store them. Normal banks you store jewelry and valuables. But in our subconscious mind, what do you store? What do you store? What is important stuff? Jewelry, gold, silver, power, friendship. Six facts about our memory bank. Number one, we all know that our conventional banks are places where we take our hard currency, our valuable important stuff, our jewelry to store. Generally, our computers, we have external drives or backups, as you know, having iCloud, you buy space for more storage. Now you store important things, and I'm asking, what are important things in your life? Jewelry, gold, silver, power, authority, I mean, friendship, job. What are the important things in your life? There is only one important thing that is in your life. The Word of God. It is the Word of God that can save you and deliver you. It is the Word of God that can recreate. It is the Word of God that resurrects even if we die, which nobody wants to, even though we sing in our songs and make promises. I want to live in your presence forever. One day in your presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. But nobody wants to die, to go and live in the real presence of God, live face to face. But when we are singing those songs in our worship services, we become so spiritual. We sing it with tears and passion. We want to be in your presence forever. But in reality, nobody want to die and go and be with God face to face, where there will be no prayers, no prayer meetings, no Bible studies. Yes, the Word of God is and should be the most important thing, the most valuable thing in our life, and we should secure it in our subconscious mind. For it is able to save us, recreate, resurrect, restore, rebuild, make all things new. It has the power and authority over all the power and authority of this world put together, visible or invisible. Somebody say, I love the Word of the Lord. I love the Word of the Lord. But more importantly, we ought to be thankful to God for our memory bank, our subconscious mind. The subconscious mind, where we can save this precious treasure, the Word of God, where it cannot be stolen, destroyed, or deleted by accident. Hallelujah. So, the first point again, our memory bank is a safe and well-secured place to store the Word of God. What I'm saying, our subconscious mind is designed by God to store the Word of God in it. That is what is designed, but usually we abuse what God has given us. The second point about our memory bank is it has its special currency. Yes, banks operate on currencies, and we all know that each nation has its specific currency, right? Now, the scripture reveals there are basically two kingdoms in this life. John chapter 18 verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Alright, that is one kingdom. So, this world has its own kingdom. Jesus Christ said, "That's of my kingdom." Two kingdoms. John 12 verse 31 said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." So if you are a child of God, you are under God's kingdom. And your currency of operation or transaction will be what? The word of God. The images of God. The thoughts about God. Your belief, your faith. These are your currencies for your memory bank, your subconscious mind. The laws of God, the loving laws and commands of God, you store them. You remember what we read? This is where you store Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read, store them. This is where you store those words, your currency, the currency of your subconscious mind. However, if you are under this world's kingdom, whose ruler is Satan, your currency of operational transaction are also what? Words. This is what you can store in your subconscious. Words. Now, words, images, thoughts, imaginations. Sure, I know no one will agree that they are under the kingdom of Satan. But if we investigate what they are depositing in the bank of their soul, their currency will reveal whose kingdom they are under. Next point that we want to consider among the six facts about your memory bank is savings and interest rate in our memory bank. We all know there are different types of savings in the banks, and so the interest rates varies as well. So for our memory bank, our subconscious mind, what is the savings? What are the types of savings, and what are the interest rates? For our memory bank, there is only one type of saving, and it's fixed saving. Recall the function of subconscious mind. You will understand what I'm talking about. Things stored in the subconscious mind are long-term, even lifetime. That is how it is designed. So therefore, if you don't want to store things there for lifetime, don't allow them to get to that place. Simple. How about the rates, the interest rates in this, our memory bank? Let's read the word of God to find out about the interest rates in this God-given memory bank. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Luke chapter 6 verse 4-5. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is what you store in your subconscious mind, which we are referring to as our memory bank. Hallelujah. Now listen about these interest rates. What are the rules? Every bank that we keep our money there, we know about these interest rates. The interest rate operates on the principle of direct proportionality. We read in Galatians 6 verse 7, very important for our interest rates. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This is simply the principle of direct proportionality. What you put in will be proportional with the output. Example, 20 USD per hour. Therefore, if you put in 3 hours, how many USD will you get? Maths, arithmetic, right? If you work for 1 hour and you get 20 USD dollars, if you work for 3 hours, how much? How much will you get? Simply 60 USD dollar, United States dollars. Amen. That is quite simple to understand. So that is it. The whole principle is in the Word of God. What you sow, what you put in, is what you get. Directly, direct proportional to what you put in is what you get. Say, we say garbage in, garbage out, right? Put in good in, you put good things, you'll get good things will come out of you. If we see you, bad things are coming out of you. Luke talks about that you are an evil man. Luke chapter 6 verse 45. Bad things comes out from an evil person, because that's what he has told. Let me talk about three important facts on Galatians chapter 6, the application. Further, I will make further application. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, talking about this principle of direct proportionality. Number one, I hope you will remember them. It impliedly, or we can translate it this way, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Number one, more of God's word, more of it flows back in times of need. In times of needs, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Because you store more of God's words, words of comfort, encouragement, assurance will be flowing out of your mouth. And it will ultimately give you hope and peace, and even reveal what next to do. So if you store more of God's word, more of it will flow. However, if you store more of the words of this world, the kingdom of this world, more of it will flow back in times of trials, challenges. There will be worries, anxiety, discouragement, doubts, condemnation. You'll be feeling helpless. You'll be feeling you have no value. And he will even help you to devise wicked things to solve some problems. So that's the second important thing that you have to remember. The first, more of God's word, more of it will flow. More of this world's words, more of it will flow. The third point is also important. If you store 50, some of you that want to serve God in one hand, serve God in the other hand. If you store 50, you serve God on one hand, then you want to serve yourself, you want to serve the world. Now, if you store 50 of God's word and the words of this world, the wisdom of this world, you will also get 50-50 output. Now, listen carefully. This third point is very critical in our lives. And that is why some of us are in confusion. We don't know what is happening. You have stored 50 of God's word. You have stored 50 of the things of this life. So what is happening? At the time of need, both of them will be firing at the same time, same strength. And this is the point of confusion. This is your crossroad. This is your intersection. This is where you find the fence sitters. You are confused. Which is which? Are we together? Very important point. Be careful. On one hand, you are with God. On the other hand, you are to this world. At the time of critical need, when you need solutions, this one will be firing 50. That one will be firing 50. You are confused. Let's go to the next point about your memory bank. Your memory bank operates, I'm talking about your subconscious mind, it operates independent of your control. Let me ask you this question in order to make this point very clear. I said what? Your memory bank operates independent of your control. Your subconscious mind operates independent. Anything that is recorded there, you don't have the ability to control when it will be released, what time to be released, how it's going to be released. Some people are in charge of that. You just stay tuned with me. You will find out. The question I ask you, do you know why you have flashes and thoughts of bad stuff, pictures, images, without you necessarily thinking of them? and these continuous bad dreams in the night. A woman is chasing you, or they want to have sex with you, or they have been attacked. Do you know why? There are three possible reasons. One, the fiery darts, the flaming arrows of the enemy in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. The enemy sometimes attacks. He's so crazy in these last days that he throws his arrows anywhere. Anyone that is not safe and secured under the shelter of the Almighty, he hits you. The second possible reason, a dream comes when there are many cares. Over and over, your heart is choked with the cares of this world. Thoughts, what will I do? You believe, you reason with me, you understand what I'm talking about. You dwell thinking about something, you end up dreaming about it. And number three could just be the playback from your subconscious mind, from the abundance of the heart. In Luke chapter 4, verse 45, the mouth will speak. You see, then how do you control the thing? Since if you cannot control what is in your conscious subconscious mind, then who does it? The only way that you can control is at the gate of entrance. Your ears, your eyes, your thoughts, your imagination. What are you watching? What are you listening? Your conscious mind is able to select, to decide what to watch, what to see, the music to listen, the places to go. That is the point that you can control. But once you let them pass, you decide to watch pornography, you are recording it. You are asking the subconscious mind to begin recording. The subconscious mind is under the control of subconscious manager. Now, generally we know, if there is a bank, there is always the bank manager. So your subconscious mind, your memory bank, there is a manager. And any bank that doesn't have a manager, you better run away from that bank. Let's read again to find out the truth about this memory bank managers. John chapter 14 verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, when the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will remind you. Where is he? When your spirit connects with the Spirit of God. Remember, your brain is not your mind. Your heart is not your mind. It's about your soul, your spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Ephesians 2, 2. He is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So two managers. Two kingdoms, two types of currency, all right, and two managers. Whose kingdom do you belong to? If you tell me whose kingdom you belong to, I will tell you the kind of currency you use. I will tell you who is your manager. Or show me your currency, I will tell you which bank and who is your manager. If you are under the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God is your manager. Is the manager of your soul and spirit. Is the manager of your memory bank. If you are under the kingdom of this world, the spirit of this world, who is the spirit of this world, the ruler of this world, Satan, is the manager of your memory bank. So who is the manager of your subconscious mind? If it is God, then you have the word of God in you. If it is not God, then you don't have the word of God in you. It is either you are empty or you have the words of this world. If the words, the images, pictures, the words of the music are not from God, the Spirit of God will not manage how it is released, at what time it is released. Automatically, we know who the manager of that bank is. Now, some of you have tried to employ the services of both managers. We see it cannot work. It's fire, it's confusion. The final point of the six important facts of your memory bank is the currency you saved and your manager will largely influence your life. The managers will determine your interest rate. The managers will determine when they will release your money, your words, your thoughts, your imagination. They have authority. If your memory bank manager is the Holy Spirit, it guides you not to sin. Psalms 119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In the dark times, it will be light to you. Hallelujah. But if your memory bank manager is Satan and his assistants, the demonic entities, you will be receiving condemnation, accusation, loneliness, frustration, hopelessness, discouragement, suicidal thoughts, and all. You know, nothing good from him comes. A quick mention of the six facts of your memory bank. Safe is very safe and well secured, never declares bankruptcy. It talks about the currency. It has its own currency, which is words and images and thoughts and imagination, either of God or of the ruler of this world. Remember, this memory bank, only type of saving is fixed savings and the interest. You remember, what you put in is what you get. Your memory bank managers, is it the Holy Spirit or Satan himself? They will manage and control whatever words they are there. Your currency and manager will largely influence your life transactions. Amen. Now, before we move to the third point for today, we have a recap of 1 and 2 of the points that we have already said. It is one of it is God commands us to always remind ourselves of his laws and promises. Alright, and the second point, God created or designed our subconscious mind, which is part of our mind, with a function to record things if they are repeated over and over again. Let's go to the third point. The third point on the question, why does God demand that we be reminded? The third point, sin. Sin has corrupted our capacity and ability to remember and remain loyal to the only one God, who is the truth and who is love, who saved us from eternal condemnation. Sin has corrupted our capacity and ability to remember and remain loyal to the only one true God, who loved us and gave himself for us. I will cite an example of the life of Israelites when they left Egypt. They witnessed the mighty deliverance from Egypt, the Red Sea miracle, the waters at Marah and Elim, the manna and quail, water from the rock, the defeat of the Amalekites. All this happened, but they quickly forgot and made an idol and declared it to be the God that brought them out of Egypt. Wow. See what manner of people. What God has blessed them, the silver and gold that God has granted them favor to get from the Egyptians, it is what they used to make an idol and now said, this is the idol that delivered them. They forgot the 10 plagues that came on Egyptians in order for them to be released. You will say, wow, maybe if it is you, you cannot. But I can tell you, are we different? How many times has the Lord provided, healed, blessed? Yet when trials come, you turn to jobs, you turn to pleasures, you turn to sex, you turn to power. It is what is important, no longer God. Be warned about sin. Be warned about sin. Now let me say something here. In no way are we dignifying sin above grace. But I'm sorry that hyper grace messages without balance of how God hates sin has done great damages in the body of Christ, especially in our generation. People are itching to hear what pleases their hearts, and they have a lot of teachers that will do that for them. Let us always remember that grace, the grace of God, always abounds in high measure above wickedness in every place at all times. Let us read a few scriptures to be reminded how sin glides and slips into us. And that is why we are talking about, be warned about sin. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then after desire, what is that desire? Your craving, your want, your yearning, your wish. Okay? Then after desire has conceived, that is, you have considered, you have imagined, you have pictured, you have visualized it, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's sin. It could be anyone's single sin. It will give birth to death. John 5:14. Jesus, you remember when Jesus heals a man disabled for 38 years because of sin? Jesus told him, seeing you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen. Sin is able to cause more than what you have thought, more than what you can imagine. More worse can happen in your life. Be careful. A single disobedience to God gave birth to all the trouble in this life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Single disobedience, do not eat the head. Whatever that stands for, do not. If you do eat, you have disobeyed God. Sin. Every single sin has the potential to kill. And sin mutates. It mutates into different variants. You could simply have sex outside marriage. And then what next? Before you know it, it's abortion because of pregnancy. You didn't know. It's just anger. Anger turned to murder. It's just loneliness. Loneliness turned to suicide. Sin mutates. Look at what one single virus is doing to the whole world. One single. And it's changing. And it's changing. That is the challenges of making a vaccine for it. Sin mutates. And sin has strong affinity for other sins. You remember that? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 45, the unclean spirit that was cast out, it went to look for all the brothers and sisters and grandpa. And all of them, he brought them back. In fact, it says seven of them, he brought some of them back. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Sin. You see, the point I'm making here is to know that a single sin has lots of relatives, siblings, uncle, grandfather, and mother, and they are always at standby to help each other. Now, for example, if your problem, as we want to say, is just lying, or it's just drugs, and that spirit, that demon, is in charge of you, and anytime, probably you want to stop it, you want to stop taking drugs, you want to stop sexual immorality or watching pornography, you are threatening that demon. And what he does, he will look and invite others. He will invite brother depression, sister frustration, grandfather anger, niece, distant relatives. They will all come together. And that is why it says it will be more worse. So be careful, especially at deliverance. When you are delivered, make sure you fill yourself with the word of God. All that demon is going to look for all the relatives and brothers. They will come back, and the situation will be worse than the beginning. May the Lord help us to heed to his word. Be warned about sin. Next point. Why does God demand that we be reminded? In order to prevent the spirit of familiarity setting in us. Familiarity. Spirit of familiarity. Mark chapter 5, verse 5. Now he could not do mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Familiarity spirit is a dangerous spirit. There is familiarity spirit in the church because we serve together, we eat together, we live in the same dormitory or community, and might have seen once flowers, and then we tend to despise or disregard the person or his authority and spiritual mantle of the office. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Do not allow familiarity to lead you to sin. Remind yourself to stop seeing the natural side of the man in the office. Reverence the person because of the hand of anointing of God in him, or you are putting yourself in danger. Remember what happened to Miriam and Aaron, how they despised Moses. Remind yourself, it says, do no harm to my prophet. Honor your leaders and ministers. It did not say worship them. On the other hand, are pastors too familiar such that they don't have the nerve to correct, rebuke those that are close to them? The challenges in campus ministry. Close friends, classmates, roommates. They will tell you, oh boy, we know you. We were here with you. What can you tell us now? Familiarity. Familiarity spirits in home. Pastors don't often want to preach about this because of the fear of being misunderstood, and thus allowing many families that need such messages in order to save their marriages. Ministers, wives, and husbands. I know it is difficult to draw the lines, but it's not possible. God knew, yet made that first institution of marriage. It was perfect and still can be perfect once we are under the rule of God. Ministers' wives often suffer from severe familiarity, just like Michael, wife of King David. She despised him in her heart. You know, it's very common for women in the house to say, I know you. No one knows you better than I do. So what can you tell me? Let's be careful. Familiarity spirit in your personal relationship with God. Be careful taking the kindness and mercies of God for granted. It breeds generally familiarity spirit. It breeds complacency, rudeness, disrespect, disloyalty. Makes you to take things for granted, and it prevents you from receiving your blessings in its fullness. Why does God demand that we be reminded? Point number 5, we live in a world of distraction and deception. And these things, this distraction and deception, are purposely designed, orchestrated to distract or deceive in order to defocus or turn us away from God. Let's be very practical. One of the greatest distractors could be your mobile, serving as memory bank for many. Some may call it necessary evil. Really? I don't think so. It depends on how you use it. Mobile should serve us and not us being its slave. Religious deceptions, war, wars, famines, disease, hardship, natural and man-made disasters, they are all part of the distraction, deception. God has already warned us what will happen in the last days through the prophets. Even his son confirmed it. Paul, the former great persecutor of Christ's followers, confirmed it as it was revealed to him. Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 to 13, said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Wickedness. In other version, it says, sin will be rampant everywhere. Disobedience is sin, and therefore, if you are disobedient, you are sinning, and that makes you a wicked person. Matthew 24:24 says, "But false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." False messiah, signs and miracles, they will perform, but it's not the identifying mark. John chapter 2 verse 1 to 7 says, "For many deceivers have gone into the world, refusing to confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh." That is the identifying mark. So don't believe any Christ that is not born of a virgin, and there will be no any other. We are in the times of the deception, but telling the truth in times of universal deceit is a revolutionary act, as George Orwell puts it. Recall my controversial statement. I said people are deceived because they want to be deceived. Because of selfishness, greediness, and laziness, we are susceptible to schemes designed to deceive us. The Bible says we are drawn away because of our evil desires. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. "For the time will come when people will not put up with what? Sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." This is happening in our days. In our days, at the end time, Daniel have spoken it. There is it written in Revelation. If you look at what is happening in our lives today, in our world today, except if you are blind to what the scripture has said, or you are refusing to believe, we are indeed living in a world of distraction and deception. These are the days of religious deception. Wars, political and religious, famine, disease, hardship, natural and man-made disasters. The ultimate purpose of all this, the ultimate goal of this distraction and deception, is deliberately designed and calculated to sway you and or turn you away from God. To sway by using power, control, authority, mastery tricks, cause you to waver, to turn away from your God. Therefore, we must be alert and watchful. Never take off your gaze from Jesus. Hallelujah. A summary of all the points that we talked about from last 2 weeks and today, there are about, I guess, 5 points on this issue of why be reminded. Why be reminded? Why remind yourself daily? Remember, you can't remind yourself of something that you have not stored in your subconscious mind. Number one, God commands it. Be reminded is God's commandment. Be obedient to it. Two, by habitual memorization, meditation, the word of God is engrafted in our memory bank, the subconscious mind. Remember, input is directly proportional to output. To obey God's word, you must read, memorize, and meditate daily. That is how to obey God's command in being, to be in the state or mode of being reminded. Number three, sin has corrupted our capacity and ability to remember and remain loyal to the only one God who loves us and gave his son to die to redeem us. Number four, to prevent the spirit of familiarity in us, we must always remind ourselves of the word of God so that pride and disloyalty will not set in and ultimately prevent us from receiving directly from God or through his servants. Number five, we live in a world of distraction. We must be alert and watchful, never taking off our gaze on Jesus. Hallelujah. Finally, you need to read and meditate repeatedly the word of God. Therefore, start to remember Gandhi said, "When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won." Start to remember, my brothers and sisters, that nothing happens to a child of God without God allowing it for a purpose. You may not understand the purpose, but trust and obey. Start to remember, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with those that stand firm in truth and in love. The truth will help you find a way. Take wise counsel. Begin to store today the Word of God and His promises in your memory bank. They are the currencies of transactions for a child of God. Stop using the currencies of another kingdom and stop using counterfeit currencies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for His Word. Therefore, as you go, remember the deeds of the Lord. Remember His miracles of long ago. Count your blessings and see what God has done. What He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall be doing, because you love Him. Consider all His works and meditate on His mighty deeds and the salvation of your soul. God, who has called you in Christ Jesus, is faithful. The work He has begun in you, He will carry it to the completion until the day of Christ, until the coming of Jesus Christ on that glorious day, or until the day Christ Jesus is revealed in all that you do. Therefore, go in the confidence into this week. Go in His peace and security. He will watch over you, provide for you, grant you favor, prosper the work of His hand, prosper the work of your hands, only if you entrust all in His hand.